Now, children, I have thought, and hopefully I have made this simple. We're going to do another little journey. We're going to go on a way that I would like to call Route 316. And the reason is that we're going to go through several books of the Bible, that is seven books, and every book we're going to turn to chapter 3 and verse 16. So no excuse that you don't remember the verses or the chapter. If you go out of this room tonight, little children, remember 3:16, okay? So I'm going to give, for the sake of the little ones, I'm going to give the initial of the book, so it's seven letters that you can write down and keep track of, okay? So we're going to start with a letter R, that is R for Romans, okay, for rat, Romans. Then we have letter E, that stands for Exodus. Then we've got a letter T, T for T, English T, but it's Timothy. Then we've got the beautiful letter J, which stands for Jesus, and the book is John. And then we've got Acts, so letter A, R again for the book of Ruth, and then C for Corinthians, okay? So the journey starts, the journey of the gospel starts with telling us who we actually are. If you want to be attentive tonight, if you want to listen, you must open your ear to what, not Vit or Vittorio is telling you, to what God is telling you tonight. And God is the Almighty God, the only true God. And God, who has created you and me, knows everything about you and everything about me. And so listen to what he says. Romans, remember? Romans 3:16. Very short verse. What does it say? Romans 3:16 says, ruin and misery are in their ways. The journey we're taking tonight is going to take us from ruin and misery to being God's temple. Right into God's temple. You'll see how this happens. This is the marvel of the gospel. The gospel is a powerful message, not because I am preaching it. There are hundreds of people, thousands of people preaching the gospel tonight and today and every day. And even in a simple conversation over the phone or a simple smile in the right moment, you can preach the gospel of Christ. The gospel changes, transforms lives from ruin and misery to being in God's presence forevermore. Let's see how this works. Remember, dear friend, me and you are awful sinners. We are sinners. Don't start thinking that you've done any good in your life and that you're not as bad as that poor criminal down the road. I tell you, bring it home. Bring it home. We all start from ruin and misery. The scripture tells us, God's word tells us, all have sinned. Remember, that is the starting point. Route 3:16 starts from ruin and misery. That's where we start from. Now, is there hope? Yes, there is. Exodus chapter 3, verse 16. I'm going to read it. Go and gather the elders of Israel together and say unto them, Jehovah, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, hath appeared to me, saying, this is a bit, listen to it, I have indeed visited you and seen that which is done unto you in Egypt. Let me summarize this in a word, in a sentence. God's readiness, God's availability. God is attentive. God knows your state. God knows that you and I are in ruin
and misery. There is hope because the God who is in heaven, the only true God, knows that you are in ruin and misery. Look at it. And he is desiring to tell us this so that you may know. I want you, dear friend, as you go out of this room, beware. Don't tell anybody that God doesn't care for you. God cares for you, and this verse tells me this. He says, I have seen what's going on. I know what the Egyptians are doing to you. This was told to the people of Israel, who were slaves in the land of Egypt. This is the message for you and me, because we are slaves of sin. And as we are slaves of sin, God knows that we are. And God is telling in the gospel, my dear boy, my dear girl, young man, older girl, God, I see your situation. I know what's happening. I know exactly. You know, I've spoken to several people that tell me, nobody knows how I feel. Nobody can share with me what I'm suffering. It's quite true, you know. Sometimes we think we can share experiences one with another. But we have to be in somebody's situation, in their character and their condition to understand. And none of us can completely understand what we're going through. One person can. God himself, and he's declared it in his word. Praise his name. Now, it goes on. The hope builds up. It goes better, gets better. It gets better. We're going to do 1 Timothy, boys and girls, chapter 3. 1 Timothy, chapter 3, verse 16. And confessedly, the mystery of piety is great. And this is now the part of the verse that I want you to listen carefully. God has been manifested in flesh, has been justified in the spirit, has appeared to angels, has been preached among the nations, has been believed on in the world, has been received up in glory. Complicated verse? Maybe, if you're little, complicated. What does it mean? Let me summarize it for you. This is God's intervention. Why is hope getting better? Not only God has told us where we are, God has told us that he knows where we are. He feels for us. And now God is telling us he's coming into action because we believe in a great God, an active God, a God that works in our lives. And my great desire tonight is I want to pass on to you how God can work in your life tonight if he hasn't done it before, if you've not allowed him before. How has God intervened in the situation of humanity? From a ruin, a misery. What a terrible state. How true it is, you know. You live in the world as much as I do, don't you? You are able to read up and listen to the news. And you don't need to go to the far and poor countries to understand how terrible the conditions in this world are. You know, there was a report in our country, in Italy. I come from Italy. And it told us that something like 3 million Italians are as poor as the Africans, if not worse. And here we are, piling money out of our country to do so-called good, and we've got 3 million people dying of poverty in our own country. Now, I'm not questioning, I'm not discussing this. I'm not here to discuss politics. I'm going to tell you an even greater thing. This message, the gospel of God, does not depend on what man can do. It depends uniquely on what God has done. And this is the message. This is God's intervention. Listen to that. God has been manifested in flesh. This is the glorious message. The message that tells us all about a man called Jesus. Jesus came into this world something like 2,000 years ago. So the calendar tells us, doesn't it? We're in 2024, according to the Romans, 2,024 years after the birth of Christ in this world, right? Now, God manifested in flesh. God came here as a man. He intervened in our situation. I told you before that to be able to understand the situation, we need to be in the situation. Well, I couldn't put myself in somebody's life, could I? Even if I tried, God did it. God became man so that we could have a hope, so that we could be saved from that ruin and misery. Now, we're going to come to the focus, the central part, the essence of the gospel. And that is why it's the letter J, and it's the letter for Jesus, and it's in John's gospel. Probably the most well-known verse in the world. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that is Jesus, that so that whosoever believes in him may not perish, but have eternal life. This is the master plan. This is God's purpose. And this is going to be the turning point in your life. Why? Yes, we spoke about God's intervention. But you know what? Because we all think badly. Sometimes when people come and offer us stuff, we think, what does he really want? We're always thinking badly, aren't we? We're always trying to think, So you might think wrongly, but you might think, oh, what does God want? Why is he coming? Why is he coming in my life? Let me tell you, he has told us in the Bible, in the Word of God, he has revealed the purpose for his action, for his plan of love. Look at it. God so loved the world, and that is me and you and everyone still living today. You know, the older folk, I used to hate it when I was young. My grandmother or great-grandmother used to say, oh, the world has changed. It's not like it used to be. And I thought, oh, well, very well, but I am here now, you know. And it's so true what they said. And I'm afraid I'm saying the same thing now that I'm nearly 40. But that's not the point. The point is that God knows and God loves you. God loves you. Another thing that you're to remember if you go out of that door tonight, don't tell anybody that God doesn't care for you. God doesn't love you. God cares for you. God told you and God loves you. Remember it. Remember it wherever you go. Remember that God loves you. And he so much loved you that he sent his only begotten Son, Jesus, the Lord Jesus Christ. What did Jesus do? What did Jesus do down here? If we were to write all the things that Jesus did down here, the world could not contain the books. So I wouldn't have enough time to tell you. I wouldn't even know how much Jesus has done. I can tell you one thing, amazing thing that Jesus has done for me. And I want you to know that he's done it for you. Jesus came in this world and died on the cross at Calvary, where he shed his blood to cleanse me from my sins. I'm going to speak personally here. It's available for you. But let me tell you, I am well aware and I believe firmly that Christ died on that cross because of all the evil that I have done, thought, said. Is this true for you? Is this true for you? Do you believe that the Lord Jesus Christ died on that cross because of your sins, because of your bad thoughts, because of your evil thinking and your evil actions? I leave this to you. This is what the Bible tells me. He died so that whosoever believes in him may not perish, but have eternal life. So God loves you. And look at it. He tells you, you're starting from a place of ruin and misery. And he's loved you so much to pull you out of that to give you eternal life. So to give you life forevermore. What is this all about? Well, let's explore it together. So this is a masterpiece of God's plan, okay? Now we move on to Acts. Acts, again, 3:16. Listen to what this verse says. And by faith in his name, that is the name of Jesus, his name has made this man strong, whom ye behold and know. And listen to this is the part that I want you to remember. and the faith which is by him has given him this complete soundness in the presence of you all. What is this? It's a transformation. This is God's plan coming into action into your life only and only if you want it. So here is the challenging bit of the gospel. The first part of the gospel is telling you what God has done. The second part of the gospel is to tell you what God can do if you allow him. The gospel is an active message. It's not preached to passive people. You're not meant to go to the gospel and say, right, okay. Is it finished now? Okay, I can go. That's not how it works. That's not how it works. The gospel has an appeal to your heart, and you're meant to answer to that appeal. You must answer God's call. It's a duty. It's a responsibility. It's a beautiful privilege to be a receiver of God's message. May you think about it, and may you answer. So how to answer? How do we answer? I'm going to help you with this, because I needed help years ago when I answered to the gospel. The gospel can be answered in a very simple way. It can be answered in public. It can be answered privately. And I would warmly suggest you to do it privately, in secret, in your own heart. How does it work? Look at it. What is it that transformed this man? Who was speaking about? I don't know. Maybe you don't know the passage. We're talking of a man that couldn't walk. He could not walk. He was a lame man. It's terrible. He could not walk. One minute he couldn't walk, the next minute he was jumping up in the temple of God. What's going on? What happened? The gospel transformed this man's life. How did it work? It worked because he believed in the name of Jesus, in that powerful name of Jesus. Faith, which is by him and in him, has given this man complete soundness. That means this man was completely healed. He could walk, he could jump, he could run. He could serve God forevermore in his life because he believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. Why did I choose this passage? I could have read different passages in the Gospels. I could have told you many healings in the Gospel. But I love this passage because Christ Jesus is not there in this moment. He's already in glory because Christ, after dying, shedding his blood, he was buried, and then he raised the third day, and he ascended in heaven where he was. And he was looking at this scene up there, and he was looking at it. And there was only two disciples, Peter and John, and you know how different they were and how impulsive Peter was. I find some similarities with him, myself. And off he goes, and he gets all cross, and then he's like, oh, no, wait, here. I have nothing to give you but one thing, in the name of Jesus of Nazareth. Stand up and walk. He believed in that name. Did he believe Peter's words? No. The Bible tells us he believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't believe in what I'm telling you. Believe in Jesus. Jesus is the center, the masterpiece. He's God manifested in flesh. God himself calling you tonight. My dear friend, how does the gospel become active in your life if you believe in the name of Jesus? Let's go to Ruth. Ruth chapter 3, verse 16. Speaking of Ruth here, and it says, and she came to her mother-in-law, and she said, who art thou, my daughter? And she told her all that the man had done to her. What am I getting to here? My dear friend, that man that could not walk, he was jumping and leaping, and everybody could see him. But it wasn't enough that everybody could see him. He was worshiping God, and he was going around telling people. He was telling people. My dear friend, the beauty of the gospel is this, and the reason I am standing here tonight is this, that I have enjoyed the wonderful work of Christ on the cross for me. I believed in the Lord Jesus Christ many years ago, and he saved me from my sins. He took me out of that ruin and misery and terrible state I was in, and has put me in a place of joy and peace. And this is what I'm sharing tonight. And this is what I'm going to invite you to do. Share with others the great things God, Christ, has done for you. Look at what Ruth did. She came back and she spoke to her mother-in-law, and she wanted to know, and she told her all the things that Boaz had done for her. Boaz in the Bible is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. So tell others what Christ has done for you. Don't be shy. Don't be afraid. I know we're all different. I know some of us are more shy than others. Some of us can't stop speaking myself. I'm sorry about it. But you know, dear friend, share it. Share it with others. Don't be afraid. You will find many are seeking for salvation. Many are seeking for peace in their life. Only Christ Jesus can help you. Only the Lord Jesus Christ can save us. Share the news with us. I'm going to finish here with the last passage, and that is in 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 16. This is how it says it. It says, "Do ye not know that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you?" Now, remember, I told you this was a journey. We were going from ruin and misery to God's temple. But it's even more amazing than this. It's even more amazing. You're not going into God's temple. You are becoming God's temple. And I don't say this on my own authority. This is the word of Scripture. Do you not know that your bodies, that ye are the temple of God? How does this work? This is the amazing bit. It's the amazing bit. So Christ came down. God manifested himself in flesh. He died on the cross at Calvary. He was buried. He rose and he ascended in glory. Why did he ascend? Why didn't he stay here? There was a reason. Many reasons, actually. But one vital reason is so that God's Spirit could come in your life. So, my dear friend, the moment you trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, confess your sins, and allow him to come into your life, God's Spirit will come into your life, and you will become God's temple. This is not a question of going from one place to another. It's a question of going from being one person to being another. You're going from a ruined, lost sinner to becoming God's temple, God in you through his Spirit. Yes, this brings responsibility. Yes, you're probably looking at me and saying, what is this all about? But I can tell you, you cannot do anything without the Spirit of God. Without me, Jesus says, you can do nothing. So, dear friend, I hope you've been able to follow, the little ones especially. Look at it. 7 steps from a ruin and misery up to God's temple. What does it mean to be God's temple? It means to be in God's presence forevermore. That is eternal life. The enjoyment of knowing who God is and who Jesus is. That is eternal life. May you experience this for his name's sake.